puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And on a Sunday morning, we're welcoming Gordon Goldsboro for his Abandoned Manitoba regular feature here. He is from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So tell us about the clue you gave us last week.
I said that we would talk about a leisure activity here in Manitoba that originated in the hills of southern Tennessee in the 1920s. And this activity had legal implications that still resonate today. Bruce, you had wondered if we would be talking about booze, but no, we're talking about mini golf.
Mini golf, or as Canadians say, miniature golf. So this is from the 20s?
Right. Yeah. When I began to delve into the history of mini golf here in Manitoba, you know, I found references to it in newspapers as far back as 1925. That's when the Eaton's department store on Portage Avenue unveiled what it called the Palm Beach Golf Course on the seventh floor. In other words, indoors inside the store. There, customers could play a round on an 18-hole course with a 25-cent fee that included the use of clubs and balls. The notion of a small course that was made to resemble a full-size one, sometimes called sort of a short game golf, is alive and well today. An example is the 18-hole miniature course at the Tuxedo Golf Course here in Winnipeg. But a somewhat different version of mini golf that many of us think of dates specifically to 1928.
That is specific. What happened then?
Well, that's when the zany version of mini golf was born, you know, where one puts a golf ball through obstacles, bouncing them off banks, up and over hills in elaborate trick shots.
Yeah, hit it up the ramp, and there's three holes at the top of the ramp, and they all go in different directions. You've got to see where it shoots out at the other side.
Yep. Or you have a windmill with the paddles going round and around, and if you just time it right, you get between, and if not, it bounces off them.
Well, my favorite one, I'm sure many people will remember, is the miniature golf course by Kildonan Park Golf Course, and the last hole was a clown's face, and if you shot it and you got it in any other place but the nose, it was just game over. But if you got it through the nose, you won a free game.
And did you ever win a free game?
Thrill. I probably when I got older, yeah, but never when I was a kid, no.
Right. Well. So this version was invented by a man named Garnet Carter. He owned a resort in Tennessee, and he planned to build a full-size golf course for his guests. According to the legend, the construction of that course took too long, so Carter hastily put together a miniature version that featured things like hollow logs that you would putt through and other obstacles, and the fairways were surrounded by statues of gnomes and fairies and things like that. It was an instant success, and realizing a business opportunity when he saw one, Carter founded a company called Tom Thumb Golf, and it took its name from a character in English folklore.
So how did that version make its way here?
Well, he began franchising courses in the Tom Thumb Golf name. And so by mid-1930, they had sold over 5,000 franchises all over North America, including one here in Winnipeg. The city council issued a license for the course on a piece of public land on the north side of Portage Avenue between Aaron and Wall. Now, of course, it's not there anymore because these things typically didn't leave a lot of footprint. They'd disappear probably within a year of being closed. But this particular one kicked off an explosion of mini golf course construction all around Manitoba. So, for example, a local golf pro by the name of Matt Thompson, he got into the game by building four of what he called Dilly Dally golf courses at St. John's Park in the North End, on West Broadway between Sherbrooke and Maryland, and in Elmwood at the corner of Henderson Highway and Harbison. The fourth course was actually an indoor mini golf course at the corner of Smith and Graham in downtown Winnipeg. So at all these dilly-dally golf courses, the admission again was 25 cents for adults, about 10 cents for kids. And business was supposedly so brisk that they operated 7 days a week, often until midnight. And that's where the problem arose.
Yeah, you mentioned legal implications.
Right. Okay. So in August of 1930, the Brandon Kiwanis Club opened a mini golf course, and it had barely opened when the Brandon City Council voted unanimously to force it to close on Sundays. And the idea was to comply with a piece of federal legislation called the Lord's Day Act.
Yeah, I have a bit of an idea of what that is. Remind our listeners.
Well, in the early 20th century, religious groups lobbied the federal government to enforce the biblical prescription to keep the Sabbath holy. And they interpreted holy to mean that it should be a day of rest and solemn contemplation and not sullied by a lot of commercial enterprise.
It better be solemn.
That's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They opposed such leisure time activities as attending movies, reading the newspaper, and playing games whenever those entailed money changing hands. You know, so if you bought a newspaper to read it, that was not good.
Mm-hmm.
In late 1906, Parliament passed the Lord's Day Act, and in March 1907, it came into force. Now, it had numerous impacts on daily life in Manitoba. For example, all stores except pharmacies and restaurants were prohibited from selling merchandise or services. In effect, it banned Sunday shopping. Restaurants could only serve meals. They could not sell food to be carried out. Nobody could attend a performance, an event, or a public meeting other than a church service where a fee was charged.
So this is why in 1930, those miniature golf courses got in trouble for charging admission, right?
That's exactly it. So on the 17th of August, 1930, the Winnipeg police raided several of the mini golf courses around the city and took down the names of the proprietors. 2 weeks later, nine of them were charged with violating the Lord's Day Act. Matt Thompson, of course, who of Dilly Dally Golf, he seems to have taken the lead in fighting back. His lawyer argued that the Lord's Day Act did not apply to mini golf because it did not constitute a game under the definition of the legislation.
Hmm.
And that, in fact, the Lord's Day Act was superseded by the provisions of English criminal law. Now, Thompson won his case in the first instance. He won the battle, so to speak, but he lost the war because ultimately the Winnipeg City Council passed a bylaw that forced mini golf courses to operate only from Monday to Saturday from 6 a.m. They opened early to 11 p.m., midnight on Saturdays. But, you know, as with most other fads, the mini golf craze faded in time. You know, it did make a resurgence in the 1950s to 1970s. In fact, that's the version of that I recall as being very popular in my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this Lord's Day Act, when was it finally repealed?
1985. That's when the Canadian Supreme Court ruled that the act contravened the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms because essentially it forced Judeo-Christian values on everyone, regardless of their personal beliefs. So what we're really talking about today, our real story, isn't really mini golf. It's the abandonment of restrictive legislation. And of course, today we live in a relatively permissive society compared to the 1920s when mini golf first developed. It's now possible, of course, to do a whole lot of things on Sunday that were once completely prevented by the Lord's Day Act.
Yeah, I think in 1985, they allowed something like a large grocery store, say, for instance, Safeway, to have four employees working.
Mm-hmm.
And don't open till noon. So we're not talking about the abandonment of mini golf.
No, I do think that mini golf is probably not quite as popular as it was in my childhood. I mean, I remember courses all over the place. And I think a lot of them are gone now. I mean, all of Matt Thompson's Dilly Dally courses are long gone. But I think it illustrates the old adage that everything old is new again. Because young people are getting back into mini golf because of its sort of retro qualities. I remember last week when we were talking about this, Nolan had a whole wealth of suggestions on where we could go to mini golf. One that I did a little research on, I found that they just opened a new mini golf course in Carmen beside the popular Sills Drive-In.
Hmm.
And there's ones in Brandon, Clear Lake, Lac du Bonny, Victoria Beach, Winkler, several places here in Winnipeg. And there's probably more of them that we're just not aware of. And, of course, they can be open on any day of the week.
I kind of miss them, but I think that it's such a unique novelty, even for kids. If you put up any miniature golf course with any type of, say, for instance, a windmill hole or something else, kids would flock to it. They'd love it.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing that I always found appealing, too, is the tricks that you had to play to get the ball down the course. You know, I went yesterday to have a look at the one at Tuxedo, and it's kind of boring, in fact, because it's just straight way fairways, and you just putt up and over little hills, but there's no obstacles, there's no clowns, there's no windmills. I don't know. I miss that.
And there was the one at the Golf Dome for a while that was pretty fun. Cool on date nights, too, and stuff. I just don't think something like that ever really sort of was out of style.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Gordon. Very interesting. So what do you got for next week?
Well, a question that I'm frequently asked is, do you have a photo of my street from 100 years ago? And most often the answer is no. I'm sorry, I don't. But for Napinka and other towns in southwestern Manitoba, there are many such images, thanks to a fellow named Brabazon Sanders. Next week, the story of the real photo postcard.
Brabazon, you say?
Indeed. What a name, eh?
Interesting name. Thanks a lot, Gordon. We'll look forward to that one.
We'll talk then. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.